This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score, and we get you ready for Sarah Spain coming in a little bit. She, of course, well-known, also a great podcast that she has called Good Game. That is on women's sports. It's called Good Game with Sarah Spain. She is also the author of Runs in the Family, an incredible true story of football, fatherhood, and belonging. And as we get ready for her, it's something that I think we all took in on Saturday, the start of the WNBA season. But unfortunately, Sky and Fever can't just be about the Sky and the Fever. There's got to be some sort of periphery to it when it comes to everything.
I think that's what makes Sky Fever great, though, is that there is a great deal of periphery. There's a great deal of what this matchup represents on so many levels to the casual, I'll just say basketball fan, not even necessarily casual WNBA fan, because a lot of the people who tune in for Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese aren't even, I would say, WNBA fans. They're just basketball fans.
I mean, that was part of it, is that there's a reason this got billed as one of the season opening games on national TV. And it's because this is something that people want to see. It's no different from the NBA's Christmas Day games.
Why do you think people want to see it, though? That's what I really want to get into here, is why do people care so much about Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese?
What happened? Tell the people what happened.
Here's what happened. The Sky did a whole bunch of stuff in the offseason that some are still questioning. The Indiana Fever said, we have a superstar, let's build around her and make her better.
And by still question, you mean Teresa Witherspoon's not there anymore. They let people like Kennedy Carter walk. Like, very key parts of their team are now different.
Yes. And so you have Camila Cardoso, you have Angel Reese, and you're trying to build around them with better perimeter play. Things like bringing back Courtney Vandersloot, who's the all-time assist leader in the WNBA. But we saw two teams go head-to-head, as Layla mentioned, on national TV in Indiana, and it was pretty much a bloodbath. They got beat by 35 points, 93-58 being the final. And it wasn't close. And the moments that people will focus on aren't the fact that Caitlin Clark necessarily had a 20-point triple-double, which is big, but it's more the fact that Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark get tangled up on the baseline after a missed shot, and the foul's called. It's upgraded to a flagrant one. So Angel Reese goes to the free throw line. Her reaction to said flagrant run, it was a basketball play in that you can't have an easy basket. I'm not going to give you an and one. That's typical. If we're on the playground right now, Mark, and you get the ball underneath, I'm just going to foul you.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm going to foul you.
Right. You're not going to get an easy basket.
Now, Angel Reese took exception to the fact that on that foul, she was also pushed in the back by one arm and then grabbed with the other. And so it was the push that's in her, you know, down to the floor that she took issue with. And then there was a little bit of a dust up, a couple of technical fouls were issued. But then there's this online kind of, I don't know, they do what they do when Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark play each other every time.
Yeah, people, first
of all, it's like warring factions.
I think you can argue that there's just as much nuance to the women's game as you can the men's game. That's no different when it comes to the fact that people are competitive And maybe you're not used to seeing a lot of women's basketball where you don't know that that's pretty common when it comes to fouls and how people battle, especially in the post. That is a huge part of the women's game, is that post presence and what's going to happen down low. Angel Reese and Camila Cardoso are there to get rebounds. Angel will tell you all day. So you're going to see a lot of that going on. It got upgraded because of a review that happened. And people want to make it about Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese, and they take it back to the college game. But
it's okay, right? What's the matter with it?
That part of it is okay. Right, it's when people want to use women as objects, regardless of what the object may be. And in that case, it's trying to push narratives that aren't necessarily the case. Both of them ended up having to downplay it after the game. And then we find out later that there was more discourse going on than we even realized, because the WNBA issued statements saying that they are investigating allegations of hateful fan comments that were directed at Reese during the game, which was in Indiana. The statement says the WNBA strongly condemns racism, hate, and discrimination in all forms. They have no place in our league or in society. We are aware of the allegations and are looking into the matter. The reason we bring it up in conjunction with the foul is we're trying to figure out when it happened in the game and what exactly occurred. Naturally, I thought about that foul as maybe a place to try to figure it out. But we're all still in the information gathering process at this time. Either way, it can simply be about a basketball game if people want to understand that they're simply there for a basketball game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it sucks that part comes into it, because the actual basketball part of it, that's fun. I mean, I like the Caitlin Clark-Angel Reese rivalry that's going on. I do think Caitlin Clark deserved a flagrant foul on that play. And at the same time, what Marshall said is correct. Yes, of course you're not going to allow that person to get the basket up. It reminds me of, and I'm doing a men's comp, and that's
Bird. Fine. It's basketball.
It's totally fine. And that's Bird and Magic back in the day. Two stars that didn't like each other eventually learned to appreciate each other. And it was a blast watching those two square off. So if we can just get to the point where it is about these two going at each other and the occasional flagrant foul, that's great. That's great for the WNBA. The other stuff blows and sucks. And I hate that we have to talk about it, because it's very real.
It's life in the sports arena, as it were.
And outside of it.
And fans are going to be fans. And fans are going to be bad. Fans are going to be good. They're going to be passionate. And there's always going to be a percentage of a fan base. I don't care what sport it is. I don't care if it's men's sports, women's sports. I don't care if it's the dog show. There's going to be a part of those fans who are indeed, whether it's racism, misogyny, whatever you want to throw at them, they subscribe to that. Have you been online? Have you been on the artist formerly known as Twitter? Like, this stuff exists, and to pretend like it doesn't exist and it can't exist at a sporting event is ridiculous. It's willfully blind and ignorant.
Hi, Sarah Spain. Sorry to bring you in on this note, but you know how it goes these days. We're really happy to see you. You guys know who Sarah Spain
is, of course. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Kind enough to join us for two segments. You know her podcast, Good Game with Sarah Spain. And I feel like you have become one of the biggest voices in this space. And you've talked a lot about it's objectification of women athletes in a way that is not exactly the actual situation. You know, it's not talking about the game. You're talking about what that person needs to mean to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always been one or the other, objectifying and making it all about how they look when they're playing, or infantilizing. And yeah, it's like, your little girl all grown up, which I think is part of the reason we're dealing with season number two, even though I have repeatedly told people, we're not doing this again. Uh-huh. We're not doing this, but we're doing it. Season number two of all the racism and the pitting players against each other and the accusations of plays that are not basketball plays. Because people don't get that women are athletes too, and they're physical and they're aggressive. I think last year the worst thing I heard was a former professional men's player saying that they should take it easy on Caitlin so she has a good start, because it'd be good for the league. To have that kind of ignorance about what these women have worked their whole lives to do, which is to win and play their hardest, and to make it about, oh, she's being mean to her, was really sad. It was infuriating.
Why does that happen, though? Because I feel like it's not just men who do that, but it's also women who are maybe not used to watching sports and not used to watching women's sports, who are now all aboard this. Oh, I want to. I love watching this, and then they just can't see it for what it is—pure sport.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is what you said. If you haven't watched before and then you dive in and you dive in with this strange protection mechanism of one single player that you've made into the girl next door, who's just a scrappy little shooter doing her best out there. Meanwhile, she's giving hard fouls too. She's getting technicals, right? And let's be respectful to Caitlin. She's taken it and given it, and she's one of the best players in the league already early in her second season, but she has not been done any favors by her fans. For all of what they think they're doing to quote-unquote protect or support, she has become an avatar for racism. She's become an avatar for the kind of crap that, frankly, the W had been passed, which was homophobic, racist, stereotyping of a group of players to the point of thinking, oh, it can't be a good product because nobody wants to watch that. And instead, it's in the last few years, people have been allowed to be authentically and genuinely themselves, and that's what's made it great. Like when they stopped throwing the players in a halter top on a car and were like, we got next, which felt completely incongruous to who it was
that.
And what they were doing.
The early 2000s were really cringy time.
Like, go back and find the old, like, Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, where they've got them all glammed up, and it's just, you can tell it's not them. So the last couple years, it's like, you can be queer, straight, femme, mask, villain, hero, funny, serious, whatever you want to be, and lean into that because that's what we want from our athletes. And on the men's side, we've always been cool with that. Like Dennis Rodman, we were like, let's go. This guy's terrible in the best possible way, right? Well, and we don't allow women to be that way.
Well, there's not a bunch of people trying to control a bunch of men.
Mm-hmm.
We also allowed the guys in the NBA to fight and have individual rivalries. Mm-hmm. Like if you want to go to Detroit and the Bulls. So I think at its base, like the Angel, if there is a real rivalry between those two players, between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, isn't that good?
It's so good. It's also what people have been whining about the NBA for years. They're all friends now.
Yeah.
They're on a banana boat on vacation. I miss the old days when they wanted to kill each other. Okay, well, welcome to the W. There are definitely some players who are not fans of each other, or at the very least aren't fans of the way the fans of other players have changed the atmosphere.
It's something that I said recently when it came to, this was last year, when Diana Taurasi is one of the most decorated athletes in league history, and frankly, one of the most decorated American athletes overall, when you consider her international resume combined with her professional one and her college career. And she said to Caitlin Clark, like, that's great, you dominated the college game, respect, but you know, this is a different league. Mm-hmm. And the narrative that got built around her, words that you just don't hear
ever,
describing male athletes, like jealous and all that.
Mean. No, they said she was mean to her.
If Diana Taurasi were LeBron James, mm-hmm, telling Victor Wembanyama this, nobody would say anything.
How about Breanna Stewart?
They would say, oh, welcome to the league, Wemby, and you just.
They said Breanna Stewart was jealous and mean because they asked if Caitlin could be the best college player of all time without winning a title. You are asking a player who won four titles and four MVP of the tournaments in her college career, if someone else could be better than her without winning a single one ever. And then it was mean when she gave her honest answer, which was no, I don't think so.
And I understand where she was coming from. I understand also kind of the angle when you have a couple of UConn players on, mm-hmm, here talking about a player from Iowa that's not Geno. That's a, mm-hmm. I understand where the bias is baked in. I get that. But they can also just give their honest opinion,
right,
on it. I think one of the things with the W, and a lot of people don't realize this until the last literally two or three years, is that people don't understand just how competitive and cutthroat this league is, because there's only 12 roster spots per team. There's a very limited number of teams. Also, we just now are in this expansion era, if, mm-hmm, you will. And I think one of the problems is people shocked. You got drafted and you got cut? How could that happen? It's like, that happens. If you've been paying attention, that happens every year in the W. Like, I'll give you an example. I covered LaToya Thomas back in the day, the number one overall pick in the WNBA draft. She only lasted a few seasons, mm-hmm, and was gone. You could be so good at college basketball, but when you're having to go up against women who have been playing professional basketball for 6, 7, 8 years and had to earn their chops overseas just to get a shot at the W, it's a different type of competitive fire that's going into these games.
Yeah, bigger, stronger, faster. And like you said, we're up to, I think, 156 spots now. It was 144 for years and years, but now we have the new Valkyries team this year. Next year, we'll have Toronto and Portland. But yeah, I mean, it is hard to stick on a roster, which is why last year I was like, let's go. We got these rookies breaking records, not just participating, but Angel and Caitlin breaking records. This year, we already have Sonia Citron and Kiki Iriafen, who are really performing in the first couple games for the Washington Mystics right out of the gate. We'll see Paige Beckers, of course, continue to grow with the Wings. That's fun. And so the thing is, like, there's a part of me that's like, all right, if you need to start fights between players in order to get it on First Take or McAfee or whatever the hell show wants to talk about it, and they're not going to watch the games, so they got to find some way to get it in, which is just argue about, you know, whether somebody's being racist or whether somebody's jealous. I guess it's better than nothing. Like, is we it? Want the coverage. It's just you hope that people take that next extra step to actually watch and then make a decision for themselves, because the amount of parroting bad takes that I heard last year from people who very clearly didn't know what they were talking about, I was like, all right, let's move on from this now.
Well, I mean, you can just tell, like, even in our Twitch chat, where usually things are pretty understood there and not as hot takey, you know, there's people saying, oh, she's not, Angel Reese isn't good at basketball. Angel Reese broke a game to game rebounding record that had long stood in the WNBA.
And double
last
doubles.
Season.
Yes. Yeah, she doesn't look pretty all the time. She has to work on her form. She pulls her layup from her hip, which is going to make it easier to block and harder to get in traffic. She clearly needs to work on the footwork to be able to, she's got great footwork for rebounding, but when she's driving, she's not perfectly in control, which also affects her shot. I mean, there's things to work on, but the idea that it has to be all or nothing because you've decided you don't like a player or because there's some referendum on who's better, they're very different players.
If you know the dog whistles, you hear them. And that's the issue, is it's not basketball talk. Yeah. It's unfortunately more not that case than it is that case.
All right, let me ask this. I actually got two things for you, Sarah. First of all, on the text line, Sarah Spain on the score. What a time to be alive.
Hell yeah.
What a time to be alive.
Can I tell you, I never thought that there were, like, real rivalries. And then, like, early on when I was at the other place, I, like, tweeted somebody from here and they were like, ugh. But not during our show. You can't tweet someone on the air on their show. Well, I'm like, I don't know. I try to be nice to everyone.
It's all good. The question I have, though, is how far do you think we are away from not being like this, the WNBA being just a league that we all watch for sports and the competition the way we watch the NBA?
I mean, I would say never, because a lot of people don't watch the NBA for sports either. Like, remember the years when the NBA's offseason was more exciting?
It still is.
Oh, you mean the
emoji wars
era?
And locking people in rooms trying to keep them from leaving in free agency? Like, sports are soap opera. And some people watch them for the actual X's and O's and the games. And some people get into who's dating who or which player's trying to push their way off a roster by getting fat and going to strip clubs. And that one's always James Harden. But, you know, whatever it is that gets you into it. And that's why it's like, I'm all right if some people get into this because they like the rivalry or the trash talking or they like the drama off the court. It's just, to your point, when it becomes very clearly dog whistles, when it becomes using Caitlin Clark as an avatar for something that she herself isn't saying or standing for, then it's just more frustrating because you just want people to give the product a shot, too. Yeah. And I think with the NBA, there's clearly enough people watching for the games. Mm-hmm. The W, we need to get more people, you know, really tuning in.
And I also just appreciate the group of college basketball fans who want to watch the W because they watch somebody at the school they love. You know, it is great to have Iowa basketball fans watching the WNBA. It is great to have, traditionally it's always UConn, or back in the day it was even Texas. You know, it's okay to have those kind of relationships. South Carolina, obviously, with Dawn Staley and what she's built. It was wonderful to have her on last year when Camila Cardoso came here.
You'll never convince me that the NBA is not a social media driven league and that the W is not right behind it following in its footsteps. You'll never convince, because I've seen too many people not watch the games in both sports, both leagues, and have all the opinions in the world about both these leagues. And it's something we don't see with Major League Baseball, NFL, NHL to the degree and just the volume.
Baseball tried to do it this weekend. Baseball tried to get you excited with Rivalry Week.
Nah.
You know, where Seattle
plays... You guys are down with the Eddie Vedder Cup?
Where Seattle plays San Diego. Yeah. And when I think of an Eddie Vedder Cup, I definitely am not thinking...
They're
of,
like, who famously lived in San Diego. I'm like, you did?
Yeah, that's
wrote a bunch of songs there. You know, sure. On the waves.
And that's the point, is even when it's Mets Yankees and they're still so good right now, what are people talking about with more passion? And I think that that's okay. You know, it's great that the WNBA leaned into that part of it and want to say, hey, this is how we're opening up on national television. These are the most eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how to get people talking about it. That is all fantastic. We have so much more to come with Sarah Spain here. She's here not just because she's also just generally cool and wants to talk to us about our podcast, but because she has come out with a new book, Runs in the Family, an incredible true story of football, fatherhood, and belonging. And it does read like there's no way it can be real. So storytelling with Sarah Spain next on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on the score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From a America for America.
Four.
Leila Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The name is Spain, but they call me the Commish, C-O-M-M-I-S-H. You don't want to mess with this. Step into the grid and I'll rule your world. The show's alpha male is a ball-busted girl.
That is great. We are on with Sarah Spain. It is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score. Sarah here to talk about many things, WNBA as we discussed, and also your new book. Because that was like your social media handle for a while. It was like you were going to take this gap year and like go see the world and then write this book. But I feel like you were never actually off.
No.
Wait, before we get to that, wait, can I get context for that rap?
Yes. That was, I'm the commish.
Okay.
Got it. Don't F with this is the main thing to take away. But, my regular appearances on the Lebatard show, they have the grid of death where they pick a bucket from this, they pick a helmet from the bucket. And if you have that team and they lose, you have to pick something from the punishments. Oh. And that was essentially to freestyle rap about the week in sports. But instead I did a diss rap of Dan and Stu.
That sounds appropriate.
Yeah.
I think that was a better move, actually.
It was.
That's always the move is to continue the bit on the Levitard show, I feel like.
Yes.
And that's where I want to start is not just with the career path you've taken, which I think is very compelling, but what drove you to write the book, Runs in the Family, an incredible story of football, fatherhood, and belonging. And it is one that has twists and turns. And when you say incredible, you mean it. What can you tell people about what this book is about?
So a couple years ago, my friend Skip came to me and was like, you're never going to believe this story. He played football at Miami of Ohio. One of his teammates had just called a bunch of the guys from the team and said, hey, guys, y'all aren't going to believe this, but Coach was my dad. So they're all like, I'm sorry, what? So it turns out that this guy, Dylan McCullough, who had played at Miami of Ohio, was adopted, grew up in Youngstown, Ohio, post-industrial collapse. So a lot of struggling families. His adoptive dad left when he was two. So he's sort of doubly rejected by father figures, living with a single mom who dates some unsavory dudes, to say the least. And at times they struggle without heat or electricity. He's got a real rough childhood, finds football, finds his way out, starts getting recruited by teams. And Sherman Smith, who is also from Youngstown, who had gone on to the NFL and made something of himself, came back to recruit him from Miami of Ohio. He ends up going there, breaks a bunch of records, goes to the NFL, starting with the Bengals in the preseason, tears up his knee. And then over many years tries to get back into the NFL and ends up becoming a coach instead. Sherman keeps kind of mentoring him as he makes his way from Miami to Indiana to USC, has four sons, can never say anything to the doctors about his medical history, never goes looking for his birth parents, and then starts looking in the laws change in Pennsylvania where he was born. Finds his birth certificate, finds his mom after a day on Facebook. She's been looking for him for years. She never got married, never had kids. She's so excited to have a son and grandkids and a family. And there's no dad listed on the birth certificate. And he says, you know, mom, do you know who my dad is? And she says, yeah, I never told them. I was a high school honor student. They sent me away to have the baby in private and come back to school without anyone being the wiser. He was already off to college, so I felt like I just shouldn't interrupt his life. It was my responsibility. But your dad is this man named Sherman Smith. And he's like, I've known him my whole life. That's been my mentor for the last 28 years. And so it's an incredible story. It feels like I'm giving away the twist, but there's so much more really in good. There to read. There's so much about nature versus nurture, DNA versus epigenetics and emotional DNA. What are the messages and language that we get passed on to family, generational trauma? What do we want to pass on and what do we want to choose to end with us? I really wanted it to be his story, but also something that anybody could read and really think about themselves and their family and what is worth continuing to pass on through generations, just like blood, and what is worth trying to end with you.
Mm. That's the trauma of the last thing you said. I think everyone deals with that. What should we not take with us mm-hmm. to the next generation, our kids? Talking to people all the time about that, because we always talk about that expression, that idiom, runs in the family. Mm-hmm. And some of it is blood, but there are so many other things that we take with us depending on how we were raised and how our family continues to be involved in our adult lives as well.
Yeah, I think like the example I always use that I think really hits for people is if your family always said things like, it doesn't matter how hard we work, we're always falling behind. Your relationship with money for the rest of your life, even in abundance, is probably going to be a scarcity mindset. Mm-hmm. And if your family always says, you know, times are tough, but we always make it work, you're probably later in life, regardless of how things are going, to have a belief that it's going to be okay. Same with sports. If your family was like, you only get ice cream if you win, mm-hmm. it's a very different approach than we're going to celebrate because you did your best. Wasn't your best game, but let's go grab ice cream, right? Those things are just as deeply embedded in us, but they almost become facts to us. If you hear them enough times, you start to internalize them as fact instead of subjective opinion. And you don't even realize that with intention, you could just choose to leave that behind and not believe that anymore.
You're reminding me of participation pizza, as I like to call it. Because, you know, people are like, oh, you're from the participation trophy era. I was like, nah, but we did get pizza after the game because, you know, we had to eat something.
Because we still played a game.
And it's like, I was going to eat anyway. What's wrong with pizza? So yeah. I go back to the CC's $2.99 pizza buffet and just, woo.
I was just happy it was done.
Who didn't love CC's?
Yeah, Jewel lemon lime soda. I mean, that was good with that.
My post game when we would have like three back-to-back, four back-to-back AAU basketball games was always Steak and Shake,
ooh.
Oreo milkshake. Back in the day when you could just like pound those and not gain a single pound because you were just spent your whole day hooping.
Metabolism was a thing.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yes.
I barely do.
Yeah.
Yeah. My metabolism was always slow, unfortunately, kind of like my mouth compared to my brain. But I do think there's a lot here also when it comes to there is science behind the study of being subliminally drawn to certain people because of the familiarity. And mm-hmm. then sometimes knowing your family without even knowing your family. What did you discover in that part of it as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty wild how much they repeated each other's lives. So, of course, he was a bit of a mentor to him, but he only coached him for one semester. at Miami of Ohio. And then he got a job offer at Indiana and left. So they had one semester together where Dylan was a redshirt because he had gotten recruited, originally wanted to play running back. They tried to move him to flanker and he pushed to stay a running back, but then he was going to redshirt. So he wasn't even with the starters and Sherman Smith all that much, but they had enough of a bond that they kept that relationship going for years and years. He did a coaching internship with him with the Seahawks. And that's the part that's wild to me. Grow up in Youngstown, go to Miami of Ohio, go to the NFL, get a knee injury, become a coach, win a Super Bowl, lose a Super Bowl, both to Tom Brady. And then now he's coaching under Pete Carroll with the Raiders, and his dad coached under Pete Carroll with the Seahawks. They both had a son that went to Miami to play football. Like, just repeating the life. And when the story first came out on ESPN a handful of years ago, we did an E60 piece and a written piece, and a handful of people wrote in to share their own wild stories about family and adoption. And one guy said he'd been working at a factory for like a decade and had hit it off with this older guy that worked there. And they always ate lunch together. And they just had this real friendship that they couldn't explain, this generational friendship. And it turned out it was his dad.
That's crazy. And,
but imagine the energy that you probably do feel toward people that have the same, you know, family and pheromones and blood and all the other things. Like, we, a lot of times I think we kind of don't want to reconcile the idea of what happens in the spaces in between, whether that's energy exchange or all, you know, why do twins, like those crazy ass twins that were repeating each other's, finishing each other's sentences that went viral recently. Like, how does that work that their brains are separate, but they're doing the same thing at the same time? We don't understand those things. So we're kind of like, oh, that's a little hippy dippy. We don't want to get into it, but energy is so real. When someone walks into a room, you can feel it. When someone has terrible energy, you can feel it before they've said anything.
Facts.
Right?
Too
many
times. So
we know it's real.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Was the book itself, was that you just wanting to explore further into this specific story? Or was there something else driving you to say what we've done here with journalism, whether it be the article that was written or the E60 piece, and wanting to build that out more in a specific way?
Yeah. I mean, when we did the first piece, it really exploded. It was incredible, the viral response from everyone, from, you know, Reese Witherspoon to Bob Iger to Denzel and Jamie Foxx asking their agents, like, hey, can we be in the movie? We did end up signing with Macro to do a movie about it. We were pitching during COVID, so we're going to come back around. Actually, Russell Wilson and Sierra wanted it for their production company and ended up losing out to Macro, so they came on as executive producers. So for all of our pitches during COVID for the studios, we'd start with a very Russell Wilson video of him, like, walking around the living room taking a selfie, like, I'm sure he said, like, this story's unlimited or whatever. But so they're on board. So it's just an undeniably great, insane story. And so after the movie, around the same time as the movie, people were coming to us. There were editors, and I had 110 jobs at ESPN. And I was like, I don't even know when I'd write a book, but let's do the movie first, and then we'll do the book. And then because we were pitching during COVID and then the strike, we haven't found a studio yet. So the movie's kind of on hold. My job with ESPN changes to part-time, and I'm like, all right, I got some time on my hands. And serendipitously, the woman who wanted it most left for Simon & Schuster, and I was with my husband in the New York Public Library. We popped in because the rooms are really pretty. It's supposed to be a cool place to check out, and all these people are working away at their computers. And I was like, oh, I miss that. He's like, what? I'm like, I miss, like, having a big project and, like, sitting all day and writing. And he's like, you're a weirdo. Nobody misses that. I'm like, I miss that from school. And I went to the bathroom, and I came back. I was like, I just got an email that editor from a couple years ago came back and wants the book again, but now with Simon & Schuster. And my husband's like, well, there's your big project. And I was like, oh, I manifested it. I just, like, went to take a whiz and came back and did the thing. Exactly.
Manifest Denzel, because that would be
that lovely. Would be incredible. This segment with Sarah Spain is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. It is Rahimi and Harrison Grody on the Score with Sarah Spain, talking about a wonderful book. And I think the point of it to me is also the fact that storytelling still matters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there might not be as much of a place for it on, you know, networks and radio stations that do a lot of debate, but that true stories like this that are real, that actually resonate and touch so many aspects of lives that people can relate to, are still very, very important. And that includes just having football be a driving fabric through all of this. At the core of it, sports is community.
Right.
At least it's supposed to be.
Right. Well, and that's part of the book, is the idea of who chooses to parent. It's not always just parents, right? And in his case, his birth parent, his mom, who knew about him, chose to give him up, wanting a better future for him. His adoptive dad chose to not be in his life. His mentor, this football coach, who after one semester could have said, hey, you know, nice meeting you, but instead takes him under his wing and leads him, choose you know, made the choice to parent him. And I think football as mentor, what's interesting in his life is that on the football side, it's very linear. He has these incredible role models and coaches at every level that say, do this work and this will happen. And it does for him at every level he plays. And then in the coaching level as well. And on the personal side, he doesn't have that same leadership. And he wavers and he struggles and he takes steps back and he tries to find his way. And he has to figure out how to acknowledge those moments when he has a want or a need that can't be fulfilled and he can't solve it simply. Right? He's got some childhood, what's it called when you steal stuff, but it's like minor?
Misdemeanor?
Not a kleptomania.
No, just like...
Oh, shoplifting?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for.
I didn't know if it was that simple or not.
No, that's the word. Well, because I want to say, like, he wasn't a thief. He was okay. Like a kid who tried to steal, like, a G.I. Joe character
or
a pair of jeans. Like, he felt like he couldn't fit in because they didn't have enough money, but he couldn't control that urge. And so learning how, as he got older, to make the same choices on his personal side as he did on the football side, but understanding that the leadership wasn't there and he was making his own way a lot of the time growing up with a single mom in a tough area. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot in there about football and mentorship and how it can be applied in other parts of your life.
The name of the book, Runs in the Family, an incredible true story of football, fatherhood, and belonging. We are honored to have Sarah Spain in studio to talk about the book that she and Della McCullough have worked so long and hard on, and we're not done with it, right?
No, because I think a major part of sports media consumption is going away this week, and I know it's the four-letter network, but you're also on with us, yeah. So we might as well just lean in.
It's just a mashup day.
We've got a pair of respects to Around the Horn, and I did want to ask you just your Bears thoughts as a fan now that you Bears. Finally get to be one. Yes, Bears.
I've been waiting for this.
I know. Poor Mark Grody.
But it's all good.
I think we should give our respects to Around the Horn as a crew. And just,
amen.
Especially what
Let's
you
do
did
it.
On that show. So that's next. More with Sarah Spain. She's kind enough to hang out. Raheemy Harris and Mark Grody on the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let it be known, Frank said he would be gracious and listen with all of us to Sarah Spain's FaceTime right now, and that's what we will, Sarah. It's all yours.
Wow, what a surprise.
I love that we're getting to do this. I love that we're getting to take on a taboo topic with Sarah Spain. Oh, that's right. There's been many of them. It's Rahimi Harris and Grody on The Score. We are talking about mostly Sarah's book, Runs in the Family, an incredible true story of football, fatherhood, and belonging. Sarah Spain and Dylan McCullough wrote it. Dylan McCullough wrote it together. It's an incredible story.
Pre-order now. And there's an audiobook, too, if you don't like reading.
Ah, did you narrate it? Did you have to do the audiobook?
How long did that take?
It only took me 3 days. They scheduled 5 and they were like, man, this is a pro. I'm like, I talk for a living. And I wrote it. That was the best part. They were like, you can tell when someone comes in to read their memoir and they don't know what the words mean. And you're like, you didn't write this.
Oh, wow. But you actually wrote it.
So I didn't write it. So I knew the words.
Pacing everything was golden.
To read their memoir and they haven't. Oh, that's painful.
Yeah. That is kind of
painful. Ghostwriters, man.
Those people. Somebody's making money then. But that's not the point. The point is you did it. So where's the audiobook available for people who want to get it?
So if my very smart husband, Brad, shout out to him, created just tinyurl.com/RITF book, Runs in the Family book. That's the easiest link to share. But I mean, if you search Runs in the Family, Sarah Spain, it'll pop up and you can order, you know, Audible and all those places.
Fantastic. And we also talked WNBA with Sarah because the season began on Saturday. So that's exciting too. So now we have to do the other part of this. I don't know anybody who works in our space or consumes it that hasn't been affected by Around the Horn. And I'm not sure why ESPN is letting go of that show and why they decided to end it after an incredible 20 plus year run. But you were a huge part of that show. What has it meant to you? Because I feel like a lot of people nationally know you from that program.
Yeah. So much. I mean, I watched that show when I just started out in sports, trying to figure out, am I going to like make it in this business? And I was watching Jackie McMullen and Woody Page and Bob Ryan and everybody. So the very first day I was on, I went, it was in New York. They had me go out there and do it in person in like a closet near where Tony was hosting so that he could walk me through the beats before we started. And so I left and went to a bar and sat to have lunch and looked up and I was on the TV in one of the little boxes. And the bartender was like, that's you. I'm like, that's me. Because it wasn't just being on ESPN on TV. I had done that, but it was to be on this show that I'd been watching forever and ever. And the way I used to feel about the people in those boxes and what it meant to be someone who people wanted to hear your expertise on all the biggest news of the day, to be one of those people was huge. And then, like everybody says it, but they really create a family there. It is not competitive. It's not mean. It's not trying to, it's a scored debate in the sense that like you get points for what you say, but Tony really wants to like hold people accountable in a fun and playful way. If you make a terrible, you know, prediction, he calls you out and gives you minus 500 points and you laugh about it. On other shows, you're like, oh, I guess I should quit and just not be in the business because I suck at this. And instead, it's this playful. And I actually like the accountability too, because I'm not a fan of the debate shows where someone has zero perspective and is losing their mind over something. And then a week later has a completely opposite opinion. It's just not fun for me. I like to actually keep tabs on like, how do you feel about something? And do you genuinely feel that way? Because a week later, you shouldn't completely flip your opinion about it and scream about the opposite. And so this show was never about that. It was about nuance and fun. And Tony would always pick up what I was putting down. On the last show I just did last week, my finale show, they're welcoming back a bunch of us. He asked me to, you know, sum up my life. And instead I did a monologue from Austin Powers and he immediately knew that's what it was. I was like, the details of my life are quite inconsequential. And he always knew. And that was, we had this like incredibly playful banter. So it meant a lot. And then also
Layla, I'm sure you get this, but what, like when I started ESPN 1000, people asked who wrote my updates for me. And I was like, I mean, I do, because that's the whole job. And then when I went on Le Batard and wrote that rap, people in the comments were like, I bet her husband wrote that. I'm like, he's not even in sports. I'm on the show. Why would I need someone else to write about the show I'm on?
The constant disrespect.
It's just constant. And so on that show.
Oh, yeah. We can't be capable of independent thought.
No. And on that show, you can tell that it's.
How'd you get your job?
Well, that was, yeah, that. I've slept with every player that ever lived, so I guess congrats to all of them.
Sounds like a lot of time-consuming effort.
It is, but also, thank God I'm so good in bed, because I keep getting promoted, right? If I was trash, I probably wouldn't be here still.
If only
but,
there was a way to profit off of that.
Oh, wait, there is. Farts in a jar.
Get it?
But no, but on that show, it's so extemporaneous and immediate. There's so many callbacks and flips, and you have to be so quick and spit out that you can tell it's not scripted. And so for me to be able to hold my own in that space, it helped prove to people, oh, this is who she really is. She's sarcastic and funny and quick and knows her stuff. And yeah, it was just the best show.
We assume the NFL season is also not scripted, although they have those playful commercials suggesting otherwise. I want to get your thoughts
on... The Bears are really this bad.
They are. They have been.
They're
and maybe
trying.
They will be.
They're trying.
So I want to know what you think about really what's happened just the last few days, obviously with the Caleb Williams dropping and Carl Williams and those thoughts. But where do you see this team and are you good with it?
I have to say, I'm glad that there were hints of that before because it softens the blow. If this came out of nowhere, I think it would have hurt real bad. But we already heard rumors about it and we wondered. And we also, if we're being honest, can't blame anyone for being worried about coming here. How many times do we see the same story play out? And I am optimistic because what is the point of being a fan and showing up every single year with the worst possible predictions, right? Like you could be honest, you can be real about it, but I'm still going to be optimistic. We got the right coach this time. We didn't go hunting in the CFL for no damn reason for someone who's going to be selfish and undisciplined. Oops, I misspoke. We got the right coach. I feel good about the quarterback. I really liked how he looked on his first reads, and then when the pressure started, that's when it fell apart. So I want to see that line, that new look line, do something for him. He's got the weapons, but we need an offense to use the weapons. So there are things I saw last year that I felt really optimistic about and things that I hope get fixed. I think it's hilarious how we want to make anything in sports a distraction, except for actual distractions like having multiple head coaches and offensive coordinators. Like, we don't give them nearly enough credit for all of that, but we're like, if someone were to say they were gay, the whole locker room would explode. But, you know, 8 different coaches and all these different. So I'm optimistic, but they have beaten me down a little, guys. You know what? I want to tell you this. Every single year, I'm like, I'm optimistic. I'm going to say like 10 wins. Like every year I'd be like 10 wins.
I did last
always.
Year.
I've been saying that and rest in peace. My friend Jeff Dickerson would always be like, Sarah, why you're always doing this? And I'm like, I don't know. I feel got something about this year. And he'd be like 7 wins or 6 wins. I'm like, why are you so negative? He's like, I'm realistic. And then they'd have like 3 wins. And so they have beaten me down. Can we just be above 500?
No, 7-10.
I got about 9-8.
7-10.
Exactly over 500.
The division is tough.
And I'm just taking the hardline stance of, if you're in the fourth year of a new front office, then you should have 10 wins if you've got the first overall pick, based on the face value alone.
And you've got, as you mentioned, Sarah, Ben Johnson, they finally got the guy. They didn't have to go to Plan B for once in their lives. They've been doing Plan B forever. The last Plan A that I could think of was Dave Wanstead after Mike Ditka. So Plan A is here, and he better work.
They definitely paid Plan A prices.
They did. By the way, Dave Wanstead, his daughter was on my basketball team in high school, and I used to love it whenever opposing team fans would come up for an autograph, he would be sure to write Go Scouts, which was our mascot.
Nice.
That is fantastic. Yeah. We love Wani. He's the best. And now he's like one of us, which is also surreal. It was wonderful to have you in studio, Sarah. Thank you so much. One more
time.
Do
I work here now? It feels like it's been a while.
It's official.
Everybody's welcome.
Come through anytime.
We in this space always like it when people hang out. You're welcome to hang out with us anytime.
100%.
I love it. Thanks for having me.
I feel like we've become the hangout show.
That's awesome. That's a good reputation to have.
We're very approachable people. That's what
come
we
chill
are.
In studio.
Like a late night diner, but in the middle of the daytime.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like all day menu. Yeah.
Perfect.
After the club, but really before the club.
Or yes, we are both.
Or perhaps you are the
post game show. Yes, we can be all things
in the
to
club.
All people,
we all friends.
Exactly, and like I feel bad for the kids who don't know about the greatness of the club. The book, one more time, in case you missed it, runs in the family: an incredible true story of football, fatherhood, and belonging, and of course, the Good Game podcast. Sarah Spain, this has been great. Thank you so much.
Thanks Sarah. Guys. Thank you. Super fun.
Five on it next with Raheemy Harris and Grody on the score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners: which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hosting season's here. Are your Windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing. No showroom markups. No pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.